All righty then, let's do this. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October the 5th. Well, what can you say about the foot? Maybe we shouldn't talk about it, the Wildcat football game up at Stanton. Let's not talk about it. Yeah, I mean, the Cats do have to find a way to stop the run because every time Stanford had the ball, it was like 17 yards, 20 yards. It's pretty hard to win a game when you're giving up that kind of real estate, Bob Westerman.
Yeah, they've got to learn how to stop the run. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, we've got the next game to look forward to, right?
Yeah, Oregon State at home. So that certainly seems to be a winnable game. Hello, everybody. And it is our Monday political face-off day, the Monday face-off. Kicking off our week as we do with our teams of commentators. Bob Westerman is here. Bob, the former Pima County chair of the Republican Party, and Paul Eckerstrom, the former chair of the state Democratic Party and the Pima County Democratic Party. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over visiting with Moe and his family on Saturday morning. They do such a great job. They've been in this business a long time, 1985, and they specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Yes, Mo will come out with the van and make house calls, do all the hanging for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bob and Paul, how was the weekend?
No, it was a beautiful weekend besides the U of A game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this morning, I tell you, it had some rain this morning, but it is so gorgeous out there right now. Mm-hmm. The weather is just
this is why I live in Tucson.
Very exactly. Fresh. Going back to football, I love college football. I got to add one thing about ASU winning at UCLA. That surprised me.
Well, yeah, especially after they got crushed by USC. And I watched us get crushed by UCLA. I was at that game. I was like,
were you really?
42 points in the first half. And I said, there's no way ASU's going to win that game. But they did. There you go. That's college football.
Yep. Anyway, there's some political news today, gentlemen. House Speaker David Gowan, who is a resident of Sierra Vista, Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babu, both announcing today, not quite sure about the timing on that. Maybe they called each other and said, hey, let's announce today for Congressional District Number 1. They join rancher Gary Keeney from the White Mountains, and former Secretary of State Ken Bennett is also running. What do you think of that field, Mr. Westerman?
Well, you know, it's an open seat. So when that happens, I think people just come out and say, I'm going to go run for the seat. It's an interesting field. Like you said, you know, Ken Bennett's more the moderate of the field, but a couple of repeats there. We've got, you know, Paul and Gary both have been there before. And that kind of surprised me was David, you know, going into the field. And,
now, he doesn't live in the district, but that is not a requirement to run for Congress.
No, as you know, Tobin ran before, and he was just slightly out of the district living in Prescott.
Yeah. What do you think of that field, Paul?
Well, I think if Gowan's in and Babu's in, I frankly don't understand Babu running again. I mean, he's lucky to have his sheriff's position. I mean, after his announcement that he was, you know, was gay in a Republican primary, I think that's difficult. And on top of that, he was shacking up with somebody who wasn't here legally. And, you know, after all the huffing and puffing that he does about illegal immigration, I just don't see him doing that well. But that field, you know, everybody, but I think Bennett is a little bit more moderate than the rest of the field. And since there's more people in, that probably helps Bennett. In terms
Bennett
of,
has a good name recognition too, so yeah. I mean, going into this, it should help him a lot. But, you know, Paul being gay, I don't know. In Republican nowadays, it shouldn't seem to be a problem. We've got a gay chairman.
Well, that's good.
Chairman,
it shouldn't be a problem. But right. I, you know, in primary voters are a little bit different than other Republican voters, and same thing on the Democratic side. They have a tendency to be a little bit more further to the right and more ideological. So that makes it more difficult for to overcome something like that. But
And what did he say about living with the person you brought up?
If I remember right, it's been a while now.
All over Facebook.
It was all over Facebook. Yeah. But, you know, he made his excuses. But I don't think after being so against illegal immigration, that having having a lover who is actually not here legally is a problem, I think, for him politically.
It should be interesting to see how he weathers that out. It seems like in politics nowadays, Paul, that, you know, you can basically do anything you want, and then, you know, two or three down the line, the population goes, "You did what?" You know,
people forget, right?
It seems to be that way.
I have a feeling his opponents won't let the public forget.
Well, that's true. We have a way of remembering, reminding people what our opponents are doing.
On the Democratic side in that race, Mr. O'Halloran, we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. He's the only Democrat that's in the race. He was quite a well-known legislator about 15 years ago on the Republican side.
Yeah, and he was a moderate Republican, and I think he left the party and became an independent. And then later just is re-registered as a Democrat. And I think he actually fits the district pretty well. Mm-hmm. He's from Sedona, is part of the district. He was always kind of pro-education, more moderate in his politics. And I think that fits that district pretty well, frankly. And so I think he's got a very good chance of holding the seat for the Democrats this time around.
All right. There are many plans out there for education and funding money, putting more money into education, but it kind of all goes back, Paul Eckerstrom, to settling a lawsuit filed by schools that said the Republican-controlled legislature failed to provide yearly inflation boosts required under the state constitution.
Yeah, and that came from an initiative that was, I think, passed in 2000. I don't understand why. It seems to be a standoff between the legislature and the judiciary, and that took the side of the voters that basically passed this, that you needed to index this to inflation and fund it properly. The problem is, and here's the problem, even if you funded it based on that, our schools have fallen so far behind because by 2000, the state had cut back on revenue so much that the schools were already hurting. And then, of course, in the last decade, especially through the recession, it got hit even harder. The schools got hit even harder. So if they would at least fund the money that is required in terms of the inflation, that would help. I don't think it gets us back to, you know, prior to 1991, when we started taking all these cuts, we have one-third the state income tax, for example, that we once had in 1991. And that happened over the 90s and the early 2000s. We cut back the income tax, and we didn't have a high income tax in the first place. I mean, Arizona's never been a high tax state. But we went from being right in the middle of per pupil spending in the country to now dead last. And we're now reaping that problem. I mean, it's not just our schools. I mean, our roads aren't keeping up either. There was a study just came out by the Department of Transportation in Arizona saying that they can't keep up with this, the maintaining the roads we have over the next 10 years with the revenue that's coming in for them. And you know, this is infrastructure stuff. This is economic development stuff. Mm-hmm. And if we don't keep up, we're going to lose jobs.
Yeah, you know, inflation and issue, of course, is out there, and we know we have to take care of that. But certainly, that's not enough money. I think everybody recognizes that education is in serious shape, and we need to do something about the funding. And I think the nice thing about it, if you look across the aisle, and what's going on is everybody has a plan to increase funding to education. That's a good thing. At least we're all heading down the same way. I mean, you've got the Democrats got a $4 billion plan out there. Doug's got a $2 billion plan. And then Biggs and Gowan came up with a $5 billion plan.
Yeah,
plan.
So
what's in common there? Well, there are some common elements between the two. If you look how they're pulling the money out, what's in common there is a very well understood situation that we have to do something about funding of education in Arizona. So yeah, I agree, Paul, in the past, we've had a lot of issues with that, and certainly the inflation things part of that. But moving forward, it seems like even in a bipartisan way, we can look at doing something about education. It just depends on how you pull the money out.
And you know, those numbers that Bob was talking about is over 10 years. So it's $5 billion over 10 years, for example. And frankly, that's not enough money for what the cuts that took place in education over the last 25 years. And what I would like to see, I mean, we're taking it from, you know, the principle of the the land trust fund that would eventually deplete that, which is not a good idea. You don't want to take from principal. And also, some of these plans are taking from the general fund of the money that we have.
There's over $5 billion in the plan
excess.
Today.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's excess money there. But what I hope people will also talk about is we need some more dedicated revenue sources for education, for the Department of Transportation. We did have a lot of tax cuts over 25 years, every single year. And some of that, I'm not saying all of them, but some of that revenue needs to be recouped. And I believe that the state income tax is the best place to do it because that's a progressive form of taxation.
So that leans, that just goes back to raising taxes. So basically the only solution to the issue is to raise taxes. I don't see that as the primary solution to every problem.
I don't either. And I'm not saying we recoup all those tax cuts. I mean, some of the tax cuts were taking place, like the state property tax and the maybe some of the corporate taxes to help businesses, you know, make sense. But we've taken too much. If you look at the direct correlation with the slide in the increase in tuition rates for the universities and the slide in our per pupil spending, it goes directly with the state income tax dropping to one third of what it was in 1991. Direct correlation.
The debate really isn't that money's needed by education. The debate really is how to come up with that money. And you know, I think Doug Ducey's best strategy is he's pro-growth. He thinks we need to grow Arizona and bring revenue to Arizona. And when you do that, that also provides more money for not just education, but for health and other big ticket items we have in the state.
But Bob, I would agree with you if trickle-down theory would work. If cutting taxes actually creates more jobs, which creates more revenue, the problem is we've had tax cut after tax cut in the state, and we are lagging to the rest of the nation that has 5.1% unemployment. We have 6.3% unemployment. We also are lagging in terms of economic development. We are fourth worst in the country in economic development. And
I understand.
And we've had all these tax cuts over 25 years. Why hasn't it created more of a better economy?
I understand investing in Arizona as far as how we handle our business taxes and how we become attractive to other businesses outside of Arizona. But, you know, you've got the same kind of logic when you think about education. Education says, you know, it's a promise for the future. It's not here yet. You have to invest in education to get education there. We need education, yep. Also to bring the businesses in here too, Paul.
Exactly.
So both those things are kind of investing in things. I don't think any one of us don't think neither one needs to be invested into. It is really a matter of how we go do that. Now, nice thing about Arizona right now is that Nevada just decided to go ahead and put the largest state tax ever in history in Nevada. That's going to drive people into Arizona. We are getting people from other states into Arizona. We can grow Arizona.
I disagree with that because we all have the fourth worst economic growth in the country, and there was a big article that came out in a business magazine up in Phoenix that two big companies decided not to come to Phoenix because the education system was so poor. That was the clincher for them to not to come. And so, you know, if we want real economic development, we do need that investment, and bigger than what we're talking about in these plans.
I am absolutely behind education as being one of the factors that brings in business there.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Bob Westerman and Paul Eckerstrom, they will stick around, and we'll be back right after this. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. To the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Ackerstrom is here, as is Bob Westerman, and we've been talking about the varying plans that are out there to put more money into education. This portion of our Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bob and Paul, do you think it would be a good idea, as some have said, to kind of do a special legislative session to kind of get this taken care of before the regular session begins, Bob Westerman?
I think the governor's looking at doing one in January a special session. So that's
to kind of go after his plan with the session.
With his, he wants to bring the special session would be really focused on the education issue and his $2 billion plan.
I think that's a good idea. The good thing, like Bob says, everybody's at least thinking we need to invest more into education. That's a
right.
good thing. It's a matter of how much and where you get the revenues for it. Obviously, the Republicans control both the houses and the governorship, so the Democrat plan is probably dead on arrival. But I would hope people keep that idea in mind that we need to invest in schools and then work it out at a special session. And,
right.
And,
you know, yeah, actually, but Biggs and Gallon are looking at a piece of, a big piece of the $4 billion that the Dems are looking at is looking at the surplus. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, why not use some of the surplus? So they're thinking about tagging maybe $100 million, not $250 million, but $100 million a year towards that. So there's some cross-pollination here.
We talked off air. One of the problems with that is, obviously, if you go into a downward trend in the economy, then all of a sudden that surplus is gone and you're back to square one. You know, I do think there's more revenue that we need to fix this problem, but I'm not sure we're going to get there right now. Maybe down the road, after putting some into the schools, they'll say, see that we still need more, and somebody might
You got Diane Douglas right now saying she wants to put $400 million into teacher salaries right away.
So it's an interesting coalition that could be forming here with Diane Douglas, the Republican superintendent of public instruction, and Democrats.
Yeah, look, I think at least everybody is starting to recognize our schools really are degrading because of lack of revenue. And that's a good thing that everybody's starting to recognize that. And then it's just a matter of how we'd go about doing it. And obviously, Democrats have a little bit different view of things. But yeah, Diane Douglas is coming up with some of the same. She did a speaking tour, as Bob was mentioning earlier, to all the school districts and talking to parents. And I think she's coming up with these ideas because of that tour, which is a good thing.
All three of those, you know, the Doug's idea, the Democrats, and the Biggs idea, they all come out and tell you that they're not going to increase taxes. They say that right away in the front of their plan, which is kind of interesting.
But Paul thinks that's a mistake.
Well, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, it's if you look at some of these things, if they don't go the right way, like Paul said, you know, if we don't have the growth that shows the kind of surplus that puts out $250 million, then you're going to end up taking tax hits.
I think the only way you're going to increase revenues for schools and maybe roads is try another initiative down the road, because I think people will eventually support that. But, you know, I don't think the legislature can do it because it takes two-thirds votes in both houses to increase the tax these days.
I tell you, Paul, I like to see him go back and take a shot at that formula. You know, if you ever had a chance to look at that formula and go look into that, that is the most complicated. And I'm an engineer. I usually can figure this stuff out. But I looked at that and say, really? Is this what we want to go by? Because that formula automatically guarantees you're going to fall behind every year. Mm-hmm. It has since we were like, I think, 26 in the country before we started doing that. And it's just they need to go back and reform that. How we collect taxes and how we put it out, that needs to be reformed completely.
I agree.
And I don't think they're talking about that yet.
We have Bernie Sanders coming to town, Paul.
Yeah.
Friday, wow. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, presidential candidate Friday at Reed Park, I guess, 7 o'clock p.m. At the Bandshell. And mm-hmm.
He's been leading New Hampshire.
Yeah. He's been drawing big crowds everywhere he goes. And I think because of his message of economic justice and let's get the middle class strong again is really resonating out there. And, you know, Hillary Clinton is starting to say similar things, which I think is a good thing because that'll bolster her campaign as well. But they're on the right track if they start talking about that, because the middle class has been hurt badly over the last, certainly the last 10 years, but I'd say the last 30 years, and I think it's time to start refocusing our efforts to make sure our middle class is strong, so we have a vibrant economy. If you don't have a good consumer, people out there with enough of a paycheck to buy things, our whole economy will collapse.
That certainly goes back to one big issue called jobs, right? Because without jobs, then the middle class has no way to make money and have no way to pay taxes, and it just goes down and down. Yep. So jobs is like critical to everything, which is probably why Donald Trump's getting so much traction, because he just says, "I'm going to give you jobs. I'm the guy to get you jobs."
Right. It's not just jobs, but also jobs that actually pay well enough so you can have a decent living and send your kids to college and be able to buy things so our economy keeps humming.
That certainly hits a nerve in Arizona, especially Southern Arizona, where pay is so low.
That's true.
And we need to bring higher paying jobs to Southern Arizona. I am definitely behind that we should do something to do that. We need to bring bigger companies.
And that brings us back to education, because there was a study that just came out that basically said we're not educating our workforce well enough to attract those high tech jobs. We got mid level jobs that we can get, but those are more susceptible to layoffs, and they're more susceptible to lower wages.
It also goes back to infrastructure, the roads and everything else.
Exactly.
You know, I tell you out here right now, I'm taking a shot at this. I bring this up all the time. Is that Spanish Trails sign on I-10 is one of my biggest things. I really hate that. When people drive into Tucson down I-10, what they're greeted by is this dilapidated, decaying sign. What does it say about the city of Tucson, and why can't they just simply knock that thing down?
Now, we've brought that up on the show before. Apparently, it's privately owned or something.
It is, but I tell you,
but it's just,
and it's in South Tucson. It's not in Tucson.
I think what Bob and I can agree on is we need better investments in specific infrastructure like schools and roads and things like that that will help draw better jobs.
Absolutely.
The state.
Yep. Absolutely. You just need to figure out how to get the money, Paul.
Yep.
All right. Just less than a few seconds to go, and Donald Trump did say that he would drop out if he falls in the polls, and he has been falling a little bit. It just depends on, I guess, subjectively, how far is falling.
That's Donald's subjective look at that.
Yeah.
What he calls falling may be a 10-point drop. I have no idea.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great week. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Take care.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be talking with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army. Our monthly visit with General Wickham, talking about foreign affairs and military matters. Some good news about Army recruitment. That will be our first topic to address. 790-2040, 790-2040, to join in the conversation with General Wickham. We'll be right back.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday on my show for the Washington Report with Terry Bracey, plus our monthly Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive. That's on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward 12:35 on a lovely Tucson, Arizona, early autumn day. You can kind of tell things have finally changed weather-wise here in Tucson, Arizona. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is General John Wickham, who was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and United States Army Combined Forces from 79 to 82. General Wickham served over 40 years in the United States Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on our live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your great program.
Well, folks can reach us with a variety of ways. They can call us at 790-2040. They can send us a message on Facebook, and they can also send me an email, because I'll be monitoring that throughout the half hour with the General. That's bill@buckmastershow.com. And let's begin, General, with the news that the Army has hit its target for recruitment in 2015.
Well, that's good news, and it reflects, an attitude among young people that service in uniform is still an attractive option. And that's encouraging. It's a reflection of patriotism, but it's also a reflection of the job market. The jobs are not as numerous as young people would like, and so going into the service is an option. And also, the services have reduced their recruiting requirements a little bit, because of the sequestration problem that Congress seems unable to solve, so that they have the services are seeking fewer people.
So that is certainly good news. And by the way, the Air Force, Marine Corps, and Navy are also doing a little better. And again, that would be a reflection, I guess, of the tightening economy, certainly.
Same thing, yes, Bill.
All right. We have a Facebook question. David has asked me to ask you, General Wickham, what does General Wickham think of the horrible attack on the Doctors Without Borders Hospital in Afghanistan over the weekend that killed 22 people, mostly children? General, was this a terrorist attack?
No, it was not. And General Campbell, who is a commander in Afghanistan, is back in Washington testifying on the Afghan situation. He just spoke on the internet and talking about the investigation. There's some errors there. There are special forces that were with the U.S. special forces that were with the Afghans, and they were the ones who called in the target and called in the coordinates. So there's some confusion about exactly what was the proper thing to call in. So I think there's some blame to be shared here by the Afghans, and maybe even by our own forces that called in the wrong target. The hospital was clearly marked, and I think they had told there are people where the coordinates were, so there should have been no chance of anything like that. No, it's not terrorist. I think it's an egregious mistake.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly is with us. Jim has a question for the general. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Jim. Hi. Always good questions from you.
Thank you, sir. Listen, I give great weight and merit to your experience, and I wanted to ask you, what do you think will be the measurement of success for the administration's foreign policy through the State Department and military policy, and how patient should we be to see that measurement come to fruition?
Excellent question, and only the answer is going to be from history. You're going to have to look at it from hindsight and see how things are going and how people have appreciated it. I think the reality is many of the thoughtful commentators like Fareed Zakaria and others working for the New York Times and even the Wall Street Journal have looked upon the policy of the administration and realized that it is the only prudent policy to follow now. The Middle East crisis is centuries old, and we're not going to solve it in one administration, nor should we even try to do it. We don't have the wisdom, we don't have the stamina, and we don't have the resources. The Shia-Sunni divide goes back to the times when Muhammad died. Who was closest to Muhammad when he died, and therefore who received the mantle of leadership? The Muslims have not been able to figure that out over the years, and we're not going to solve it. So I think the policy that the administration has been pursuing of staying out of the Middle East with boots on the ground and trying to do the best that we can to enable the locals, the indigents there, to solve their own crises, their own problems, help them with advice, help them with weapons, help them with funding, help them with intelligence, and help them with diplomacy. Diplomacy has got to be the only answer to some of the problems we've faced. Look at the Iran nuclear deal. Diplomacy pulled it out of the box, of course, with Russian help and with other nations' help. And the Iranians, and I just listened to Netanyahu, gave a wonderful interview with Fareed Zakaria just on Sunday. And Netanyahu has been saying now, look, all of the divisions we had over the issue of the Iran nuclear deal and other matters, let's put them behind us. Let us look forward and let us build contacts that are going to lead to a better world. So I think there's some wisdom and prudence on his part.
All right. Jim called us on 790-2040. We had a follow-up question about Afghanistan. You were speaking about boots on the ground. Are we going to keep some more troops over there, General, past 2016?
The plan, of course, is Bill, 2016. They're all supposed to be out except for a few Marine people there that are protecting the embassy and maybe some others that will be involved in intelligence. But there is some debate going on now about whether we should have more troops there to help the Afghans with intelligence and with some targeting and with some advice. The issue is how many and how long, and the more you do this, the less the Afghans are going to become responsible. Now, Afghan is different than Iraq. Afghanistan now has a very good leader with Ghani, educated in the West, very capable, admired in Afghanistan, and he's strong, and he's got a deputy president the same way. And number two, the Taliban, having lost Mullah Omar, are now prepared, according to intelligence sources, prepared to sit down and do some negotiations. Yes, they did get into Kunduz and do something there, but I've seen that in the past in Vietnam when the Viet Cong, towards the end of the war, sort of tried to do some things that created a lot of sparks and showed people that we're still powerful. So the Taliban may still do some things to prove that they're still powerful. But the point is, I think they're willing to negotiate, and that leads us to some prosperous opportunities.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Ingrid would like to speak with General John Wickham. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hello, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, sir. Well, you sort of addressed what I was going to ask. It has to do with supplying materials and so forth. It seems that the folks that we give materials to, arms and so forth, don't really, the soldiers don't really seem to be fighters. So often we hear of them taking off and running away like rabbits. And it is so discouraging, especially when you think that our own military personnel are dying because of that. And it occurred to me while I was waiting for you to be able to answer my question, that I wonder, would it make more sense to give armaments to the people who feel that they're being oppressed, instead of having them leave the country and go out to the rest of the world, stand their ground and fight back against whoever it is they feel they're being oppressed by?
Okay, thank you, Ingrid. Go ahead, General Wickham.
Ingrid, very good question, very thoughtful and insightful. You're exactly right. We have made mistakes, and we've given a lot of weapons to Iraqi military, and you're right, they did abandon their units. Guess what? The reason for that is that the units have lost loyalty towards the government in Iraq. And we're in the same with rebels in Syria that we've been arming. They lose respect for their superiors. So they'll run off and leave the weapons or give them away or sell them. That's always a danger. The issue is you've got to pick the right people that you're giving the weapons to. You have to vet them. And then you have to have some kind of security to be sure that the weapons are kept. But you're exactly right. We need to do a better job of how we allocate weapons. We have not done that in the Ukraine, as you know. We gave Ukrainians some defensive weapons. But I think this is another tribute to the Obama administration. We did not step in with big boots in Ukraine, as some people like John McCain and others have been arguing. Let's get big boots in the Ukraine. Guess what? The Ukraine ceasefire is holding.
Okay.
And now the Ukrainian parliament has passed a constitutional amendment giving more autonomy to the western provinces. That's exactly what the Russians wanted. So now the Russians are withdrawing their support from the rebels because they don't need that support anymore. So there are ways of doing things in a smart, thoughtful, diplomatic way rather than sort of jump in with boots on the ground. That's what, unfortunately, I'm afraid, Dave Petraeus and John McCain are pushing for now in Syria. We need to go into Syria with boots on the ground and create enclaves and no-fly zones that are going to protect people. Guess what? To put on a no-fly zone and to create an enclave in Syria, you're going to have boots on the ground to protect it. If you're going to have a no-fly zone, you're going to have aircraft that will shoot down any aircraft that fly into that zone, and you're going to have people that will detect that and maybe have people on the ground. So we're talking about what Petraeus and McCain are talking about, another war, another involvement in the United States in a war.
Okay.
We've already spent $4 trillion on these two wars. That's almost half of our federal debt. We don't need another war. I think diplomacy can do the trick.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, General, we're going to have to take our break right here. Please stick around. 790-2040. If you would like to get in on the conversation with the General, we'll have another segment with him right after this.
D Did you know that most men die from preventable illnesses, or they simply accept many health conditions as part of getting older? That's why Tucson urologists formed Epic Health, a clinic designed just for men. In just 15 minutes, you can get a free screening worth $1,600 that looks at simple testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan in Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health. Men's healthcare, evolved.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. What a great time of year it is over in southwest New Mexico, Silver City, mile high elevation. Those leaves are turning, and it's a lovely time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. There are many things to do and great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Agave Ridge Retreat. Check out more about Silver City, historic Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico at their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. And since we last spoke, General, Japan, the Japanese legislature passing really an historic change to their constitution, right?
Exactly right, Bill. As you may recollect, the the words in the Constitution prohibiting Japanese forces from being used outside of Japan were written by an American woman, colonel in the Army, a woman that MacArthur had appointed, among others, to write the Constitution for Japan. And those words have prohibited Japan over the years. Abe, realizing that the world has changed, wants Japan to be able to play a more influential role, and so their parliament has now passed a change to that constitution that will enable Japan to use its armed forces to help others outside of Japan. Historic, and I think good. It's also a good sign to China. Hey, China, watch out what you're doing around the world, because Japan is no longer going to be a quiescent nation after the World War II.
So, in other words, you think this is actually a pretty good balancing move for the region for Asia?
I think it is. I think it demonstrates that Japan is going to play a role in the world much more consistent with its economic capacity, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about North Korea. They're at it again. The rumblings are coming out of North Korea about nuclear enrichment facilities.
That's right. They reopened the one that was shut down, one that was shut down based on negotiations with the United States and other powers, Yongbyon. It's just north of the DMZ. And they've opened that up. Now, that's going to be able to produce enough enriched uranium and plutonium, experts say, to create one or several nuclear weapons a year if they want to. But it's another manifestation of the North Korean truculence towards the West. We're going to do what we want to do. The weapons to them are their guarantee of security. And I don't see how we're ever going to get them to reduce the number. But I do think if we can get the diplomacy underway again, the six-power talks, I think we can make some progress with China and with Russia and with Japan involved to help the North Koreans perhaps move in the direction of much more openness and maybe inspection of their facilities by the United Nations that might remove some of the dangers that exist today. But unfortunately, right now, there are no negotiations and no talking at all.
How many troops do we still have, American troops, over in Korea? You don't hear a lot about that these days, but let's face it. We've had boots on the ground, as you very well know, General Wickham, because you commanded them for a long time in Korea.
That's right, Bill. We've got about 35,000. It varies. They're going to start another big exercise again. They do annually where we bring in troops and do exercises to demonstrate our capacity to protect South Korea. But those exercises just inflame North Korea, and they say, you shouldn't do them anymore. It's a threat to us. Well, they've got a point, and I think we probably could begin to phase down those exercises. But you're right, the South Koreans have got about a million troops under arms. It's pretty strong military, and the control of those troops used to be under the Combined Forces Command that I commanded, but that's begun to phase out, and a Korean is going to command that now.
And these are really battle-ready troops. Were you always impressed, and have you been impressed, General Wickham, with the readiness of the South Korean military forces?
Absolutely. They've got a military academy based on West Point, for example. The uniform's almost the same.
Hmm.
And, well, the education is superb. And their battalion commanders, their company commanders, are excellent. They're all college-educated. And I used to walk along the demilitarized zone, and my wife Ann did the same thing, and we would greet the South Korean troops up there. And many of them have black belts, three and four orders of the black belt.
Wow.
An illustration of how tough they are and doing exercises out there. Yes, it's a very capable military, one of the best in the world.
And the arsenal of North Korea, we never really hear this about how many nuclear weapons they have. Is that speculation, General?
It is speculation. No inspection will determine that. But there was a meeting in China a few months ago. We didn't go, but experts around the world did. And China admitted publicly that they believe North Korea has at least 40 nuclear weapons. Now, I don't know what the size are. Chinese didn't say. But they're probably at least the size of the weapons that were used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Wow.
14 kiloton type weapons, big enough to blow up a city. And so North Korea eventually is going to have a thermonuclear weapon that's in the megaton range.
Oh, boy.
That's the danger.
Yes.
And we don't know where they are on that, but they're going to get there. The technology is available. They have the money to put into it. Of course, the danger is they could sell some of this to other countries.
Yes. General, we're going to have to leave it right there. Thank you. It's always an honor having you on the program. And
thanks, Bill. Good, wonderful program.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham with us, joining us on the first Monday of each month. We're glad he does. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw, the host of that show, and then we do 3 hours of local talk. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, 8 to 9 with Christy Simone, soon to be 9 to 10 in the morning, Sean McCluskey. So we'll have 4 hours of local talk. And I'll be back with you, Buckmaster Show, of course, at 12:04 with Ed Alexander. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.